What's up, beautiful people? I hope you're ready, because I'm ready, because I got some hot content coming to you live here from the End Zone Club. But before we get into today's topic, as always, I got to get my preliminaries out of the way. So deep breath. With that said, guys, thank you for coming back to another edition of the End Zone Club, where we have conversation that is designed to push you from walking in potential to actually fulfilling your purpose. And as always, I always, always, always am inclined to tell you guys to feel free to like, share, subscribe, rate, and donate to this podcast wherever you are listening to this podcast from, so that y'all know the song and dance. But the mission is to reach the four corners of the earth, and in order to do so, we need your help. With that said, I'm kicking it solo in the studio today. We had a special guest and we were recording, but for some odd reason, the call dropped 3 times. So instead of trying to splice that episode together and give it to you guys as best as I can, I did want to come before you guys by myself today and to pour out from the contents of my heart something that I just experienced. Glad you asked me, what is that experience? So y'all weigh in on this. Let me know, am I the only one that can have an epiphany at any given time? Like, I'm that reflective person that has a mind that I can draw a parallel from anything I'm watching, albeit my kids playing, albeit a car driving by, albeit being in the store and seeing people interact, or movies that I'm watching and I'm engaged in. Something about the flow of life always gives me these weird parallels to draw from, which somehow always find their way back to this podcast. And in true form, I was watching an old 90s flashback boxing match between two guys that were at two different points in their careers. On one hand, you have George Foreman, who is on the other side of his prime. He's a 42-year-old former champ, came on the scene as a boxing machine, heavy-hitting, hard-punching individual who's now at the stage where I believe he's already having grandkids. And he's facing a very young, up-and-coming champion who's hungry, in the form of Evander Holyfield. Now, just to give you guys a quick history lesson, back in the 90s, that was probably the height of heavyweight boxing. Matter of fact, many of us know Mike Tyson from the 90s as being like the premier face. However, Evander Holyfield was equally as powerful and as dominant to the game of boxing as Mike Tyson. So fast forwarding, the scene is set. You have a cage, elder, seasoned vet versus a young man who's up and coming. On paper, George Foreman should have never been able to stand in the presence of an Evander Holyfield because he is past his prime. So in every area of judging, whether it's speed, whether it's tenacity, whether it's whatever the skill traits are that judges are judging, George Foreman should not have been able to stand in the presence of Evander Holyfield. But for 12 rounds, this seasoned vet took punch after punch, punch after punch. And through experience, yes, he could not outrun Evander. He couldn't outspeed him. But every time it seemed like Evander would hit George Foreman with everything he got, combo, 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 punches that would have knocked the average man out, something. And George Foreman took those licks even when he was teetering, when his mind and equilibrium has been knocked upside down. This gentleman earned our respect because he looked Evander in the face after getting hit with everything Evander had. And his eyes said, I refuse to fall. As I'm watching this back and forth symphony, this orchestral movement of boxing, I find myself very emotional in this moment because now I'm at an age where I can relate more with where George Foreman was in life And I sometimes feel like life has afforded me, as well as many of my peers and many of you that are listening to this podcast, an opportunity for my intestinal fortitude to be tried with everything I have. I don't know if you've ever been hit by life so hard that you wondered if you could withstand anything else from it, but George Foreman provides a blueprint for many of us that if we could just embrace this sense of strength, this sense of intestinal fortitude and resilience, that no matter what life throws our way, similar to Evander Holyfield, it begs to differ that when you are able to stand on your feet through the grace and strength of God, I promise you, the people that are watching will have that same response that I had to watching Evander. Don't you know that there is no function in life that doesn't come without a trial or tribulation or just some means of being tested? In my time of conversation, ministerial wise, I am surprised, and though I shouldn't be because I do this myself, but a lot of times I think it's just me, but it has been easy in times past to look at other people's lives and assume that nobody else but me is getting hit as hard or has been hit as hard or goes through some of the things that I have. And then when you see or you hear or you converse, you engage with others and you hear their stories, their testimonies, and you see that they too have been rocked at the core by life, it puts things in a different perspective. I remember several years ago, I want to put this out here because, you know, it's a new year and I used to make resolutions. I don't make them anymore. And I'm going to tell you why. But I had this resolution going back, I think it was 2006-ish. And I remember my resolution, and I even went to my pastor and I'm like, yo, this is what I want from God. I want you to stand with me on this. But my only resolution is that I'll be real. Just want to be real with God. That was a very simple request, but little did I know the requirements that came with that was going to mandate my life being shaken upside down. The only way you can verify the validity and the quality, the authenticity of something is to test it. I'm going to let that sizzle with you for a minute. The only way to validate any product, any car, any jewelry, any books, any ideas, is you have to make sure that it's going to withstand everyday use. You think some of these high-dollar cars, before they hit the market, they don't first go through a crash and burn cycle where they're tested, impacted at high speeds, and wondering how the parts perform under pressure? What that does is it lets you know if normal wear and tear is going to affect it or if there's a certain quality attached to the name that it can withstand. But that comes through testing, comes through quality assurance. And George Foreman, in my very eyes, the quality of his soul was put on trial in that moment. I, over the course of time, have heard some very trying, tested, and true stories from individuals that have gone through way darker periods than I ever have. Matter of fact, might be about a year or two to this date, pretty close to it. I'm getting ready for my PT test. I'm sitting on a bike, stationary bike, and I'm just pedaling. Got my headphones on, Netflix is playing. I got this ambiance in my ears, and I'm pedaling, I'm rolling, I'm riding. And one of my coworkers kept calling me. Now, I didn't mean anything personal by it because I was locked in. I had like a month or two left in preparation for my PT test and I wasn't there yet. So I'm locked in at this time. This is my quiet time, whatever. And he keeps calling. So at some point I realized maybe it's something important and I stop pedaling And then I get a phone call from another individual that works in the shop with us. And now I'm starting to think, this has got to be something serious. So I answer the phone and he's like, hey, if you can, give so-and-so a call. There's some things going on. He wants to talk to you about it. When I got in touch with that individual, I come to find out that his son was in a car accident. And he had actually lost his life. I believe he was 18 years old. It's a touching moment. And actually, we had just saw the young man prior to that moment very recently. So that image of this young, smiling young man that's in college, girlfriend, all of his life ahead of him, that was my last memory. But now to hear this, that's what happened. I watched the effects that stuff had on this, on the dad, his father, my friend, my co-worker, my brother, confidant. You see these moments sometimes on display, and sometimes when you see people going through, it really sometimes just pays to know, how are you doing? Did an episode several episodes ago. Did I repeat myself? I missed it. But anyway, several episodes ago, I asked that question, how are you doing? And one of the reasons I asked that question was actually tied into that event. Because sometimes when you see the trial of somebody's moral character, their life character, their body of work, when you see it being tried and tested, who we are as the support system is sometimes often put into, it's put into full effect. Because I know from my own personal experience, when I have been in need sometimes of encouragement or situations where I just need a hug or affirmation and all of the things that come with this uncharted territory, I've run into two different kinds of people, or three kinds of people. The first kind of person sometimes you run into when you are being rock solidly tried and tested, you will have to hear about immediately after the advertisement.
This is an extreme transparent moment for me. I am working out after I had my last baby. Just in a few short weeks, baby will turn one. It took 9 months to create her and nurture her in my body, and it's taken almost 1 year to get back in my ideal shape. So come along with me on this journey as I return to healthy, wealthy, and wise.
All right, so now that we are back, let's talk about real quickly the three kind of people you run into when you need help. The first one, it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's those people that you think should care, but don't really care. You ever been talking to someone and real quickly, it's very apparent that their attention is elsewhere. As we're telling our stories, like, hey, I'm going through something, I need a little help. And you can tell they have all of the proper cliches that makes it sound like they're interested, but in reality, they're not really listening. I'm the same way sometimes when my kids are talking, they're telling me the story about Roblox and Minecraft. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. What? Y'all know how we do it. We throw these certain words and cliches out. But in reality, we're just passing time. The second kind of person that you're going to run into are probably a little more dangerous in that they're not paying attention, or they are paying attention. Let's rephrase it. They're paying attention, but they would rather just not help, but don't know how to tell you. I've had some experiences where I knew that who I was talking to, who was maybe a friend of mine, a relative even, had it in their capability of helping out, but chose rather to sound like they were interested. Oh my God, what happened? They did what? Man, you're playing. You're doing what? Oh my God, I'm going to be praying for you. And instead of reaching into their resources of help, they disappear until they figure, oh, he's got it taken care of by now. I can tell you by now, if you want people to disappear, tell them you need help. Third kind of person you're going to run into, since we've already exhausted two other measures, there are those who are actually good people and that see you rocked by life And instead of offering you a rope or just telling you, I'm praying for you. Oh my God, it's going to get better. Let me give you an encouraging word. There are some people that will actually get in that foxhole with you and do everything in their possibility to help. Now, you do have to be led by God with each individual situation. Being led will help you know what's the wisest move in this situation. If you're always that person that all you're doing is offering words of encouragement, chances are there's a lot of people you could have helped that you dropped the ball on. And one of the reasons I even bring this portion up is because I was going through my timeline and there was a friend that made a post. And the post referenced, and let me backtrack a little bit, because this person, this individual, I have never seen this person on social media ask for any kind of help. But for the first time ever, they were going through something that they needed a little financial support. And they're like, hey, this is so embarrassing to even do this, but I am asking help for the first time in my life. And instantly about 20 people jumped on the status. And every last one of them had the same response. It was very hands off. I'm praying for you. Prayer is true. It's a currency of communication with God. But you are sometimes the conduit of blessing that God seeks to put in people's lives. So when you're watching the original content that I'm talking about, such as people's lives being rocked and shaken and upside down, sometimes people need more than prayer. Sometimes people need more than hope. Hope is a very, it's a very polarizing trait, because yes, hope gives you something to look for, but ultimately, sometimes hope doesn't always bring fulfillment and conclusion. So if God ever leads you sometimes to be a blessing to somebody whose life has been rocked upside down, if you see a homeless person that's hungry, don't pray for them if you're able to feed them. Don't pray for them if you got an extra candy bar in your vehicle that you're driving by that you could stop and give them something to eat. Then you can pray. Then you can give an encouraging word, because now your actions have actually met more than one need. I want to put this out there. If you get the time, Google the heavyweight fight between George Foreman and Evander Holyfield. Just watch the highlights. You see the highlights, you understand what I'm talking about. This veteran, this caged, sage, wily guy that should have never made it through three rounds, lasted 12, and he earned respect. But if you see what he went through to make it through those 12 rounds, yes, he took a beating, but Evander Holyfield knew his name when it was over with. And what I'm going to ask you before I get out of here is, will your trials not only know the God that's in you, but know the perseverance that you hold? Until next time, guys, this is another episode of the End Zone Club podcast. Be blessed. Like, share, rate, subscribe, donate. Let's go, let's go, let's go. So, hey, this is the End Zone Club. If you are hearing this podcast and you're enjoying today's conversation, I encourage you to like, share, rate, subscribe. Also, don't be afraid to hit the support button at the very top. By giving just a little bit of support, you help us to do what we do in the community and also to spread the word to the four corners of the world. And as always, until next time, be blessed. And this is another episode of the End Zone Club.